Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. I'm your host, Damon, and today, I forgot to turn off Pastor Ross's mute. But today we have Pastor Ross. Welcome to the podcast, Pastor Ross.
Oh, thank you, Damon. It's so good to be here sitting in the old live stream room. And it's so cool because we're just talking now. We don't have to worry about the video aspect of it. And we can just hang out and have a conversation and talk about Jesus. And I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited too. I've been excited. It's neat because, you know, on our last episode, Megan said that you are one of the people that she's excited to bring on the podcast, and you're the very next guest. So that's exciting. So Pastor Ross, one of the first things that we do with each guest is we ask them a question. And that question is, what has God been highlighting to you recently? So Pastor Ross, what has God been highlighting to you recently?
What has he been highlighting? You know, Damon, just like Barry had mentioned that he got sick and I got sick too. And that wasn't fun. But, you know, it was interesting because in that time, I felt like the Lord was saying to me, I want you to spend more time helping your kids grow spiritually, to deepen their relationship. And so it's been really cool because I felt like I was supposed to ask, start with Jackson and ask him to do a devotional with me so that we can talk and share and read God's word. We can pray together, we can worship together, whatever God wants us to do in that time, but for us to do it together and just encourage one another to share what the Holy Spirit is showing us. And so, yeah, it's awesome. I asked Jackson, okay, what book do you want to go through? And he's like, how about 2 Chronicles? And I was like, okay, you don't want to do a gospel or something? He goes, no, I want 2 Chronicles. That's an exciting book. And so, okay, let's go through it. So we've been going through it, and it's been really, really good just to see God speak to my son, to speak to me, and us to share. And, you know, Damon, it's so cool because we talk about different things, how God comes and how God showed himself to Solomon and just these different things. And then we talk about how does this apply to our lives, and then we pray. And I could see my son's prayer life change in that he, it's not just, here's a prayer request, God, here's a prayer request, here's another prayer request, but he started to actually worship God in his prayer. So, God, you are the light, you are the salt, you are the Lord, you are the King. He just started saying all these things that, scriptural things that about who God is. And then it was amazing because then when he starts sharing his prayer request, it changed. And so it's not like, oh, it's so hard, this thing. Help me with my sister. Help me to love my sister and not, you know, whatever he's challenged with. But he's like, help me to be loving to my sister. Help me to love her. Like she's part of the family. Help me to love her like you want me to love her. And I was just kind of looking at him going, wow, that's pretty amazing. Yeah.
I wish my kids would pray like that.
Yeah. I was feeling challenged. As he's going off, I'm going, wow, that's pretty good. Okay, I better up my game.
Was there something specific during the devotional time that you felt like made a really big difference for him as he made this shift?
Yeah, I think I think it was moving to that, turning his eyes off of himself, off of his circumstances, and looking to Jesus, and really proclaiming out loud, this is who you are. This is who you are. This is what you've done. This is how faithful you are, how good you are. And I think it just changed. And I think that's true for everybody, that if we would turn our eyes off of ourselves, off of our circumstances, turn our eyes to Jesus and really see him for who he is and claim, you know, understand his faithfulness and claim those promises that he gives to us, it will change the way we view what's going on around us. And then that's why I feel like there's always hope in the Lord, because you take your eyes off him and you look to him and yeah. So I think that was a breaking point for him, where he just started praying that way. Because before it was always about, my sister is, you know, da da da, and so help me deal with that. And this guy at school helped me deal with that. And it was very, just kind of a struggle mm-hmm. for him to really mm-hmm. pray those things. And it just felt very daunting and very not hopeless, but just not as hopeful.
Yeah, that's really neat, because to me, that really fits with the theme of our podcast. You know, our podcast is called Engage to Flourish, because we want people to be able to flourish and recognize God is transforming them into the type of people that can flourish in any season. And it seems like through these devotionals, that's what Jackson is learning. He's learning how to not look at his circumstances all the time, but how to be able to flourish in spite of his circumstances and not just, okay, this is bringing me down, this circumstance is bringing me down, but really looking at, God, this is who you are, and you're gonna bring me through this. And there's a hope to it. And that's really what we want people to experience. What we want our listeners to hear is there's hope. There's hope in Jesus. Whatever you're going through, whatever season you're in, there's hope in Jesus.
Yes.
So it seems like that's a common theme in your household right now too.
Yeah. That's what we're trying to teach our kids, is that, you know, whatever situation, every single day, it's your choice. You are powerful. Mm. Every single one of us, we are powerful. And so make good choices and choose the Lord. If you choose the Lord, you're going to have a hope-filled day. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a good day if you choose the Lord. If you go contrary to him, contrary to his word, well, good luck. You know? Yeah, you're on your own. And there'll be some consequences to that. But if you choose the Lord, even if it's rough, even if it's hard, love people, you know, the way God loves them, and choose love, and you're going to have a good day. And so they come from school or whatever, and how was it? I chose the Lord today. Good for you. Okay, tell me what kind of things. And so they go into some things that they did, but it's good. Yeah.
So is there something significant that you feel like you did, like baby steps or anything that made it easier to start doing these devotionals? So like I'm thinking from the perspective of a parent who might not be doing anything devotional wise with their kids. What can I do? What's like a first step? What would you recommend?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's a good question, Damon. And I'm trying to quickly go through my mind, what are some things that I did or that we did? And, you know, I think it's okay. And it's good to take baby steps. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have to be like this whole thing where, like, if you're doing a quiet time very sporadically and not reading so much the word, that's okay. I hope that you would, you know, for your own sake, get into it more consistently. But if you just want to spend time praying with mm-hmm. your child, I think that's good. If you want to take some time just going over one scripture, like we go over a whole chapter. And so, we could talk about the whole chapter. But if you just want to go over like one or two verses, what does that mean to you? Okay. And just start that way. Maybe even just singing a song. Let's sing this worship song. If you want to sing together or something, play it on YouTube and sing together. Mm. So I think all those kind of things, just slowly taking a step by step, those are good ways to kind of develop this culture, develop this your relationship with your child, that it's like, okay, I'm doing, and then even give them, like, why don't you pick the verse? Why don't you pick the song? Mm-hmm. You know, and I think just empowering them to be involved as well, that I think that helps. Mm. So, those are some things we did, but I felt like the Lord said, up your game. Mm. You know, he knows about me. Jackson knows about me. I want you to take him deeper. And that's why I started going into all this. But yeah.
Those are some awesome tips. Thanks. So I did have a couple questions that I wanted to ask you. That some of our listeners can get a better sense of, you know, who you are and what worship is like at Catalyst. So, you know, Pastor Ross, you are the worship leader, the main worship leader of our church. You guide our church in worship. How did you get started? How did you get started with worship? What drew you? And then what made you shift from just being a personal worshiper to deciding, I want to be a worship leader?
That's a question goes back several years. I became a Christian in college in the 90s and or in the 80s, actually. You know, when I first, this is in AACF at Cal State Long Beach. And when I first started hanging out with them, I wasn't a Christian. With AACF used to hang in a certain area. So I used to go up there and hang out with them. And, you know, they had meetings and stuff. And I would just say, no, you guys go to the meetings. But then I started hearing some of the songs they played. Mm-hmm. And those songs really impacted me. Mm-hmm. So then I was like, well, if they're playing those songs, they're singing those songs, then I actually want to go to the meeting and see what it's all about. And then, you know, they have their guitars and stuff. So I go, okay, well, they actually have instruments. So they're not just singing to some kind of a tape or, I went and I loved it from the very first time. And they had books. And so we were looking at the books, singing the songs and stuff. And I just loved it. And so I remember one time, I wasn't even a Christian yet, but one time we went fishing with my cousins who aren't Christians and one of my friends from AACF, and we were singing the songs from the meetings and stuff, the Christian worship songs, and my cousins were like, what are you singing? You know? Just like, I don't know. I don't even know who this Jesus guy is and stuff, but I like the songs. Mm. And the songs did something, and they captured my heart. And then once I found out more about Jesus, I was like, that's why we're singing about him. Okay, now I'm starting to understand. And then I accepted him, way back then on an Easter. It was through the worship that the melodies kind of caught me. But I actually learned a little bit of theology. So when people started telling me about Jesus, it's like, oh, that's why we're singing that. And that's why that's meaningful. That's why that... So it really helped me grow as a Christian, not only in worshiping, but also in understanding who Jesus is, who God is, what did he do, and how can he impact my life, and all these different things. So the lyrics of the songs were very impactful too. And so, yeah, just started learning, and you know, these guys, they play guitar. So I go, I want to learn. So I got a guitar and they started teaching me. And then a year later, I was a worship leader in ACF, and never looked back from that point. Just enjoyed worship.
Wow. So you didn't pick up a guitar until college?
Yes.
So my mom is a musical person, and every time she plays worship with you, she's always like, wow, I love playing with Pastor Ross, because the way that he's able to lead the team and his musicianship, and it's not just, you know, playing the three chords and keeping the same strum, but he uses these different dynamics and things. It makes him really fun to play with him. So I'm surprised that you didn't pick it up until after, in college, and that it was the worship that actually drew you to start playing too.
Yeah, well, thank your mom for me. I love playing with her too, because she can play all these different instruments. But yeah, it's just very, it was very intuitive, very, just something, just play according to my feelings. And so changing the strum according to how I'm feeling. And never took lessons. Maybe I should have, but probably should have taken vocal lessons, I think. That would have helped. But everything else was just kind of, just went along with whatever God put in front of me. And enjoyed it since then. So yeah, I've been leading for about 30 years. Yeah.
Must be just a God-given talent and God's direction on your life. If you haven't even taken lessons, and God just really wanted you to be a worship leader. And we're so thankful that you're the worship leader at Catalyst and that you've been directing our church in worship. So as the pastor in charge of worship at Catalyst, what do you want people to experience when they come to church? And like, what would you want a new person to experience as they step into a worship experience for the first time?
Yeah, that's something that always is on my mind. I want, you know, person that knows Jesus, person that doesn't know Jesus, it doesn't matter. I want every single person to meet God, that they experience the Father's heart. When they come into that sanctuary, that they can, like, I smell something. You know, like they could feel the presence of the Lord. They can smell it. They can, you know, just, it's almost like electricity when they come in, and that the Lord would just show himself, that they would experience His heart, His love, that if need be, even changing their perspective on who God is. Like, oh, I came in thinking God was this judge that always, you know, pointing and always angry and always wanted me to change things in my life and all this stuff and just badgering me all the time. And then flipping it completely around. And then it's like, God is a God who just loves me. Mm. Oh my gosh, He's so for me. I can't even understand. I can't even comprehend the depth of His for-me-ness. That He's just so for me. Like, I've never experienced that in my life. He wants the best for me, you know. And I remember in Second Chronicles that Jackson and I went through, talking about Solomon dedicating the temples, Second Chronicles 7. Where it talks about the presence of the Lord just came like fire on the people. And it was so heavy. The glory of the Lord was so heavy that everyone just fell to their face. And he said the priests couldn't do their jobs because the presence was so thick. Mm. And I'm like, God, I want that. Mm. I want that for me. I want that for our church. I want people to experience God's glory, that it comes upon them so heavy that they just, oh my gosh, You are good. Your love endures forever. And that's what they all said. They just kept, You are good. God is good. His love endures forever. And for us to experience that as a church, to experience it on a Sunday or even in a prayer meeting or whatever, but the glory to come. And that for a person that doesn't know Jesus to leave going, okay, what was that? That wasn't man-made. You know, there's no way that guy playing the guitar or that girl playing the keyboard or the singers could manufacture something like that. What was that? And to lead people and even for Christians, to just go, what was that? What was that encounter? And to just seek the Lord, to go, I want more of that. And then also to go, you know what? You can't get that at Disneyland. You can't get that in a Broadway show or, you know, any kind of anywhere else.
Yeah.
It's only when Jesus' followers just seek Him so much and their hearts are for Him so much that He comes, He shows up, and He just blesses us with His presence. And that's what I want. It's a long answer to your question of what do I want to see happen? What would I love to see happen, especially in our service? So,
well, some questions just can't be answered by in a short way. But it sounds like you're giving a really good plug for our next series, which is Father's Heart, which is coming up, I think, starting this Sunday. A series on Father's Heart. So if that's something that you want to experience and you want to know, this Sunday is going to be a good time to come on out and experience, learn more about God's heart for you as a person and experience some of the worship that Pastor Ross has been talking about. So for our last question, Pastor Ross, you know, it's been neat because, you know, our church we're in our 16th year. During that time, we've gone through a lot of different seasons in worship. You know, sometimes it's been, you know, a lot of joyful praise, and then there's been more introspective, you know, deeper worship times. How have you navigated that as the worship leader at our church? You know, and then how can we take that into our own lives and navigate the different seasons of our lives?
Yeah, that's another good question, Damon. It's been a challenging few years for me, last few years, because it felt like there were these different challenges that we were going through. I don't know if you remember, but a few years ago, I think it was 2018, I remember talking to one of our drummers, Hector Santine, and just saying, I think we're going to have to develop a percussion team because we have too many drummers. We actually had, I think, 5 or 6 drummers. And I was like, I don't want to lose any of them because, you know, they can't play often as much as they want to. So I think I'm going to have to develop a whole new section of, you know, to have the drummer and then have someone playing bongos or shakers or something, but develop a whole new section because we had so many. We had singers and we had electric guitar players and, at one point, you know, Karen playing the violin and bass players and then just the Lord, I really feel like He started calling people to different things. And I felt like the worship team was being stripped down. And so we went to this into the season of, okay, guitar player and a keyboard and some singers. And it was a total shift that I had to go through in understanding what is it God is doing. And I felt like he said, you're going through a testing season. And it's not going to be fun, but don't short circuit it. Stay in it. Trust me. Look to me, because there are things I want to teach you, things I want to teach a church, things that you have to experience in order to go deeper. And if you shortchange it, if you try to find shortcuts, if you try to just get out of it, you're going to have to go through it again. And I was like, oh, okay. No, I want to learn. I want to learn. So whatever, however long it takes. And so, yeah, it's been this season of going through that. And yet, at the same time, there are seasons within that season of its celebration. It's submission. It's trying to align ourselves. It's, there are seasons within those larger seasons that God takes us through. And so in the past years, it's been like, I think there's like this celebration or this life freedom that he wants us to focus on. Or we're in the season of consecration, of submitting, of releasing things to the Lord. Because things are getting in the way. And so there's this different season that we go through. And then, you know, for both Marcy, the other worship leader, and myself, you know, we meet every month and we just talk about what do we sense God is doing and how can we stay in alignment with that? How do we keep in step with what God is doing? And so it's a lot of talking, a lot of praying, a lot of even talking about what kind of songs are we going to play? What kind of songs do we feel like God is bringing out in this season? And and then we have our practices, which are good to practice the songs, but we also spend time talking to each other. Like, what do you sense? What's going on? What's going on in your personal life? And then we actually play the songs. And then I tell my team, you know, a lot of times on Sunday, we just play the songs and it's for the people. It's for the people to worship and for us to engage with that, to see what the Holy Spirit is doing and to kind of stay in that place of listening, of kind of seeing what God is doing. But it's hard to also just engage fully with worship and just forget everybody in front of you. So I tell them on Saturday mornings, this is the worship team's time to just engage with God. This is our time to just fully lose yourself in his presence. And just don't worry about the harmonies. Don't worry about all that stuff. Try whatever you want, but don't worry about, okay, am I getting this right? Am I getting this? You know, just engage with him. And then sometimes it's like so awesome. And we're like, okay, but we got to hold it with loose hands because on Sunday, the next day, he may do something completely different. So things that we pray, things that we declare, things that we prophesy, don't hold on to those things so tightly. Just kind of hold them with loose hands and then, you know, whatever. So that's what we've learned to do is just hold things very loosely so that whichever way he wants to go, we just follow. So what the celebration and all the different kind of seasons we have, we just kind of go, okay, God, where are you going? And try to engage the best we can with what he's doing. And whatever we have in our personal times or even in our Saturday practice, we just kind of go, well, it was great. That brought so much life to me, but God, I hold it with loose hands. And if you give me the green light, then I'll step in and do this. But if you don't, then it's okay. We'll just engage with what you're doing on Sunday. And so that's kind of how we just stay in a place of humility, of submission before him, recognizing he's the one driving. We're just kind of along for the ride and enjoying his presence. So, Does that answer your question?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think it answers more than just my question, because I think that, you know, the things that you're sharing, it's really good just things in regular life for us to have an awareness of where God is leading. And instead of just always being so focused on these are the things that I want to do, these are the things that I need to get done, but having that awareness of God, what are you doing? You know, these are the things that I want to get done, but it's okay if you want me to do something different. And that's a neat perspective that you're leading us with how you're leading the worship ministry, but also leading us as people to be aware of what God is doing at the same time and not just so focused on, I have to play this note at this time and I want to play these three songs. And but being able to say, God, what are you doing? And I think that's something that can encourage us as we live our lives, you know, as we move to becoming people that are able to flourish in every season, is really, you know, kind of like we started the podcast with, you know, talking about Jackson, and he's looking at who God is and where God is going, and that his circumstances, they don't matter as much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's something that, you know, can be an encouragement for us, for each of our listeners too, is that when we take our eyes and put them on Jesus, then our circumstances, they're not as bad, or they don't impact us in the same way that they used to, because mm-hmm. our eyes are on Jesus. And I think that's a great way for us to close our podcast. So thank you for listening to this episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. Thank you for your time, Pastor Ross.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, it was a pleasure to be here, Damon.
So
yeah.
if would you be open to coming up back on again?
Oh yeah, of course.
Awesome.
Of
so course. We're looking forward to the next time to have you on again, Pastor Ross, and we can continue this conversation. So check us out next time on the Engage to Flourish podcast.
Oh yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Engage to Flourish podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts. You can check out more of our content on our YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook pages by searching for Catalyst Christian Community. If you want to check out our church in person, we meet every Sunday at 10 a.m. at Stanford Middle School in Long Beach. We'd love for you to come out and experience being a part of our church family.